That's great, too. How's that working? Okay?
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Thank you.
It's great to be here again. Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoy visiting Salford and had a great time actually Friday night. I came in enough time to hear the Salford stories and to see that you all have some very interesting people that live in this part of the country. Entertaining as well. I don't know if you've heard Barry Woodward. Many of you probably were there, but man, I even understood his humor as an American, and it was great. So if you get a chance to hear him, if you haven't, I would encourage you to do that. Actually, I came to the UK last week, last Friday, so a little bit over a week ago. I went first to Northern Ireland, was at a missions conference, and participated in some different church and home group meetings, and had a chance to talk about Ukraine, but had a great time in Northern Ireland, and realized that I'm still learning what it means or how to speak English. While I was there, I was staying with a nice couple, and they fed me a great lunch. And for lunch, they offered offered me some grapes. And I had a chance to enjoy some good grapes. And then as I was leaving the table, ready to go to my room, she asked me, "Do you want to take some grips with you?" And I thought she said grip, you know, grips. And I thought, grips, what is that? And she said three or four times. She kept trying to say it. And I guess finally she had to show me what they were, grapes. So there even are some language differences, I guess, between us all. But coming to Manchester and to Salford, I already kind of had some exposure to the Salford accent. And Barry Woodward gave me some new ideas. Isn't it? So I don't know if I haven't actually heard that too much here. Maybe I haven't met some real true Salfordians, I guess you say it. But I've had a great time so far. And I had a chance to visit Southport yesterday. I don't know if any of you have been out there, but it's beautiful. And we didn't get to see any red squirrels, unfortunately. I was disappointed with that, but it was a great walk and a beautiful day at the beach. So, and we had some fish and chips too, so that was good. Well, I just want to talk a little bit. I know some of you may have seen me the last time I was here, so there may be a few things that may be familiar, but there'll be some new stories and maybe a few new things you'll get to hear about. But we have a great privilege to serve the Lord in Ukraine, and a great privilege to have people like Sandra Armstrong and Kath Joseph and Steve Platt that came and participated with us over the years in the camp. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Maybe you can, whoever's running the PowerPoint, you can see here is is Ukraine. My wife and I have lived in Ukraine since 2003 and had an opportunity to work with university students there, but it's a beautiful city. You can see it's right kind of on the north part of Ukraine. There's a beautiful river that runs through. Maybe you've heard of the Chernobyl accident, which was a big radiation power plant disaster that happened in the late 80s. Well, that's just probably about 80 miles north of Kyiv, not too far from us, but thankfully, where we live, there's not too much radiation. They say it's normal radiation levels where we're at. But if you went up near Chernobyl, you'd have to throw away your shoes because all the radiation is in the grass and the ground and everything there. So, but it's an interesting place. So next slide. yeah, you can see just a few pictures of Kyiv. They have a lot of high-rise buildings there. And the river is big and beautiful. Next slide. And these are some of the apartment buildings. These are more Soviet style. Since the Soviet Union collapsed, a lot of newer, nicer-looking buildings are going up, but these are the kind that I live in. This is actually out of my window, taking a shot at some buildings nearby. Next slide. And this is my family, my ministry team, my wife, Shelley, and three boys, Alex, Andrew, and Philip. We are enjoying a vacation last summer in the Carpathian Mountains in southwestern Ukraine. So it was a great opportunity. We actually have two other co-workers that partner with us, a guy from New Zealand, and then another American. And it's great to have a team sharing ideas and brainstorming together. Next slide. So this is who we reach out to. This is a university student. That's kind of our main focus. And back in 2004, there was a peaceful revolution called the Orange Revolution, where they overturned a falsified presidential election. Thankfully, it wasn't bloody like it's been in Libya and some of the other countries lately. But anyway, a lot of the people involved in that were university students. And really, I think they're the ones that have potential to change the future and direction of the country. So we're excited to have the privilege to be able to work with them and to share the good news with them. Next slide. And as you know, Ukraine has a long Christian history, probably you've heard, has had Orthodox Christianity there since, for 1,000 years. Unfortunately, it is very traditional. And for most people, they would say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian because I'm Ukrainian. That's just, you know, the same thing. But in reality, they don't understand that the idea of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And for them, Jesus and God really isn't relevant. He's just these cathedrals with paintings of Jesus. That's about all he is to them. And and so they don't go to church, they don't pray, they don't read the Bible. And they don't really interact with God in any meaningful way. And so we want to help them understand that God wants a relationship with us, a love relationship with us. Next slide. So this is kind of a key verse for our ministry. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we want to help them understand that God wants that kind of love relationship with us. He's not just some painting, but a real person. Next slide. And we do that by helping them taste and see that the Lord is good, to experience him in different ways in our ministry, rather than just to, see him in the cathedral. Next slide. So what we do is we offer in the summertime English camps, and this is what Sandra and Steve and Kath have been to. And it's an event where we invite about 10 or 15 Western Christians. So we've had people from New Zealand, from Northern Ireland, from here, from the England, and also from Australia and America, of course. And we're going to have a couple of Canadians for the first time this year. So I'm excited about the opportunity to have all these different English-speaking countries represented. We have some interesting debates about how you really say things, whether it's grips or grapes, and but I think it really enriches the experience for the university students from Ukraine to hear different ways of speaking English, but also different cultures. Sandra is going to come this summer, and we're trying to talk her into doing high tea at 4 o'clock for us one day with scones and, I guess, cucumber sandwiches, yeah? Whatever. So, because we sometimes are overrepresented with Americans, so we get to do a lot of American stuff. So I'm excited to get to do a British tea. If we could just get the Queen to come as well, that would be nice. But so we go to Ukraine, and we rent rooms in a retreat center in this forested area near Kyiv. It's beautiful there. Next slide. And so you can see here it was one of our camps from last summer. Is this Sandra's camp? Yeah, I think Sandra's in there if you look closely. Where is she? Oh, yeah, there she is. The guy in the green hat sideways. She's sitting right next to him, the big guy in the green hat. So we have about 20 or 25 Ukrainian college students that come. They speak English. So, and you just, how we market it to them is say it's an opportunity for you to speak English 24 hours a day because they get to live with a native speaker. So we have three-person rooms, and so there will be one Westerner and two Ukrainians in the room. You get to build a friendship with them and try to just, do fun things. We'll do fun things together as a group. Next slide. So we'll do outdoor games like, different types of relay games and things where you get to just have fun together. Next slide. And then we'll do lots of indoor activities. One here, this is a kind of skits that we did. This is Cinderella down in the middle, this big guy from America. He was Cinderella. Next slide. We'll have all kinds of campfires, and we make s'mores together. I don't know if you do s'mores here in England or not, but marshmallows. You know what marshmallows are, right? So we'll roast them over the fire and then add chocolate and a sweet cracker. And, they're very tasty. Very popular event, at least with me at camp. Next slide. So then we'll have all kinds of discussion group activities. So really, we have four goals at the camp. The first is we want to help the students with their English. Honestly, they have a lot of opportunities to learn English and no grammar and that, but they don't have a lot of practice opportunity. So that's what our camps, we really try to set it up so they can just speak a lot in English. Most of the students, they come to camp, maybe the first day or two, they kind of struggle to kind of get into the understanding all the English. But by the end, they say they're thinking in English and dreaming in English, and it's really a great opportunity for them. Our second goal is to have a cultural exchange. So we try to set up all kinds of ways that we can learn about each other's cultures. So, we had a guy came and shared about London, showed all kinds of pictures, which was really interesting. Sandra has shared some different ones, too. I can't remember what all. But we have some people share about, snowboarding or, Manchester United. Oh, yeah, Manchester, that's right. We learned about Manchester United, and one of the guys was pretty excited to get a Manchester United jersey when they passed it out at the end. But, all kinds of stuff. But the Ukrainians also share about the Ukrainian Cossacks, which were kind of their warriors from the 16th century, and about Ukrainian food, borscht, and other stuff. So it's pretty interesting. But we also have picnics. We'll have, a Ukrainian picnic, and we'll have an American picnic, and we'll roast hamburgers and hot dogs and all kinds of, cultural opportunities to exchange ways. So that's the second goal. The third goal is we want to show them help them understand what it means to live in relationship with Jesus Christ. So we try, putting them in the atmosphere of living 10 days with 10 to 15 Western Christians will help in that. Because they begin to see someone that has a living relationship, how they react and respond in different situations. Plus, we do activities. One of the activities is a discussion group where we'll talk about a topic like success or friendship or happiness or beauty. I think last year we did one on beauty and even showed pictures of Britney Spears and discussed kind of for the change from when she started to later. It was quite interesting. But then as a part of that, maybe the last 15 minutes or so, we'll look at a scripture that's related to the topic, and then we will try to understand it and then discuss it and share our opinions about it. And it's really good. It helps the students begin to think about, maybe this the Bible actually has things to say about things I'm interested in and care about. And by the end of camp, most of the students are saying, I think I would like to read the Bible now. Before, maybe I thought, not interested. But now, a lot of them will go and actually say, I want to start reading that. I had an atheist one year at camp. I didn't know he was an atheist when I first invited him, but he came to camp, and at the end of camp, he said, wow, I think I really want to read the Bible. I think it's a relevant book and important and interesting. So I thought that was good. So then the fourth goal is just to have fun and build friendships. Oh, I forgot to say, besides the discussion groups, we'll show a film about Jesus. So it's like 30-minute portions over 5 days at camp, and then we'll spend 10 to 15 minutes talking about that afterward. It's good for the students to watch this film because it shows the whole life of Jesus. And they begin to see, he's, again, more than just that painting, but someone that's alive and, someone that, I think I'd like to have a friendship with him. He would be interesting to interact with. And then the last is in the evenings we'll have a evening meeting for about an hour where we'll sing worship songs together and we will share a couple of testimonies and then have an evangelistic talk. And the worship song time is quite interesting. Usually the first couple of days they're a little bit awkward, singing about God, singing to God, whatever. But it's interesting for them just for English practice. But at the same time, usually by the end of camp, most of them have begun to sing sometimes even more loudly than we sing. And I've had quite a number that will tell me at the end of camp that, of all the times we did at camp, that was the more interesting activity, was singing those songs. Because when we sang those songs, it felt like there was someone else in the room with us discussing the Holy Spirit. So those are the four goals of our camp. But I want to show you just a brief video that kind of gives pictures of what the camps are like. So next slide. I think I want to show you a video. Mm.
homemade McDonald's.
My language, I began to think in English, and when I have dreams, I also have English dreams.
So you like the spiritual part of the camp too?
Yes, mm-hmm. For sure. Something changing now. Mm-hmm. I feel it, but I can't to express it now.
Yeah. But something inside me,
yeah, something changing. Maybe somebody cannot understand what is this, so you have to be here to understand it.
Okay. I had a new view on religion. I think that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but is also our friend, and we make a friendship with him.
We love the English camp. This has been our third year coming, and each year we're just amazed at how awesome the Ukrainian students are and how much they learned and how much we learned from them.
And yeah, every year we're also just amazed at the unique and cool things that God does in our team and in the Ukrainians through the camp.
I enjoyed it immensely. It was nothing like what I expected. The kids were wonderful. I was scared to death to meet them on the first day, but within a matter of hours, got to know them, and they were excited to meet me as I was to meet them.
And you can tell with the students, when they first arrive, they don't really, talk about God or Jesus very much, and, it's kind of a slow process, but then as camp goes on, they start asking more questions and having more discussions and really showing an interest in. You know, at the end, we gave them Bibles, and just seeing their excitement over getting those, you can tell that there was a definite spiritual impact throughout the camp.
Yeah, I just can't recommend it enough. It's a life-changing experience for the students and the teachers both. And you just have to get over your fear of giving it a try. Mm-hmm. And then I think once you do, and I've seen this happen among other people, once you give it a try, things change. And if you want to grow in your faith in God, you want to learn to trust and depend on God, you just got to come. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, if you're not really interested in growing, just send your money and then
Okay. So that's a little bit about our English camps. As you can see, it's an exciting two-week trip. So for the whole trip will be 2 weeks. We have one in July and one in August. And it's a great opportunity to build international friendships, a great opportunity to have a spiritual impact. A lot of times, some mission trips that you go on, you may not be able to interact very much with the national people because you don't speak their language. In this particular trip, you get to go and actually live and communicate with people that speak English. And so because of that, and because we're in that camp atmosphere, it's like you can go deep relatively quickly and be able to have that spiritual impact. So the requirements, you just have to be 17 years old and you get older. We've had people over 70 years old before. So just if you feel like, oh, I'm too old, I can't do that, that's only for college students. Don't feel that way. If you feel like God's tugging at your heart, then you can feel free to come. The important thing is you feel like you're healthy enough, you can get around and walk and all of that. But you need to be a native English speaker, so you need to be able to communicate English well, because that's what they're coming for, is to practice their English. And just a growing believer, someone in relationship with Jesus. We want to show them Jesus. So I have here available for the end of the service, if you're interested, some brochures that talk a little bit more detail about the camps. And I would encourage you, if you have any interest at all, to grab one. I have some sitting back there near the door in one of the chairs. And if you just want to pray about the ministry, then grab one of those as well. But if you have interest in it at all, thinking I might be interested in coming, please consider that. Sandra's coming again this summer in August, so you can maybe join with her if you have some interest. Well, let me talk to you a little bit more about what we do with the students after the camps. So, go ahead, next slide. We offer English clubs for those students that become pretty interested in participating further with us, but are still more interested in English practice. Usually at those clubs, we'll offer a couple of times a week. We'll just discuss interesting topics. Like this last week, we did a topic on romance in the internet age. And we showed 10 minutes from a romantic comedy called You've Got Mail, where they meet each other over the internet chatting and stuff like that. And then we we talked about that whole idea. Is that good, bad, you know? How has the internet changed the way we do romance? And it's really interesting. And then after we talk about that and play some English-speaking games, then we will pull out a scripture that's kind of related to the topic and discuss that together. So that's for the English club. Usually we have, after camp, we'll have four or five students that will say, yeah, I've prayed to accept the Lord. And then we'll have maybe 17 or 18 of those that say, yeah, I want to go reading my Bible. And then most of them, almost all of them, will say, yeah, I want to stay connected and get involved in some activity you have. So one of those is the English clubs. Next slide. So then we also offer life groups. These are usually on Sundays we have for the Christian students or the ones that are more spiritually interested. we see these as like small home churches where we'll come together and we'll obviously drink tea together, but we'll pray together, encourage one another. We'll just share about testimonies of how we've seen God at work in our lives or things that he's spoken to us. And then we'll do a Bible discussion. This last weekend, we talked about, from James, taming the tongue. And I guess I wasn't there because I was in Northern Ireland, but my wife said it turned out pretty well. One of our Christian students led the group and had a really good discussion. And then, of course, we'll pray for one another. Next slide. Then we offer also retreats, weekends where we'll go out and spend a couple of days together, more extended time, and in a little retreat center, playing lots of games and things, but also having some good spiritual discussions. This last retreat we had a couple of weeks ago, we did focused on three gifts that God has given to us. The first being the gift of his grace, and then we also talked about the gift of the Spirit, and then the third being the gift of meaning and purpose in life. And it was really good for me, I guess, to go through that again, to review again all those important gifts that God has given. Okay, next slide. We also do lots of fun activities. So we'll go bowling, we'll do picnics, and we did an extreme camping trip a year ago, and we're hoping to do another one this spring, where we went and lived on an island in the middle of a river for the weekend, fighting mosquitoes off and... But also doing all kinds of fun activities with ropes, swinging across a river on a rope and canoeing and water skiing. It's lots of fun. It was really a great opportunity for the students to do that. So next slide. There's one event that just came up recently is there's a university. This university was just built 2 years ago. It's 5 minutes from our apartment, 5 minute walk. And it's like a branch of a larger university system that covers all of Kyiv. And I've started recruiting students from there to come to our camps. But just this past fall, I went there to see if we could maybe use a room, rent one of their rooms for a larger activity we're offering. And they sent me down to the central office, like the second in command for the whole university system. I had to go and ask them if we could use a room. And so I went in there a little bit nervous, to meet this person, and she was so excited to see me, and she said, "Wow, can you start offering English events for some of our students there at the university? Can we sign a contract, an agreement to do something?" And I'm like, "Well, I think maybe we can work that out. Sure, it's really a wide open door." Now I don't know that we've offered a couple events so far. We did a Western Christmas party with lots of games and good food, and even Santa Claus, or I guess you would call him Father Christmas, right, came and passed out some presents, and it was lots of fun. And then we just before I came on this trip, we did a game event where we did lots of fun English-speaking games. But I'm hoping that we can start to expand that out maybe and begin to offer some more spiritual activities, but certainly it's going to give us the opportunity to start more effectively recruiting students out of there. And I'm just excited to see what God has available for us in that university. I want to show here a little video about our follow-up ministry so that you can kind of see some of the things that we do with the students. Yeah, go ahead.
God will something also weary the verses, and sometimes you have goosebumps while reading these verses. God, all the time, every Sunday, God speaks to us. After camp, we had our live groups, and them and all the people in that live group, they really give a lot of support to me.
Okay, that shows a little bit about what we do in follow-up with the students. I wanted to just tell a couple of quick stories. Do I have a minute for that? Okay. Of some students that we work with. Go ahead to the next slide. So this is Jenny. You can see she's in the big white glasses. She was saved at a camp a year and a half ago. And Jenny, she's a real athletic basketball player, good, you know, kind of a strong personality. And she had a really good relationship with her dad, got along well with her dad. But she didn't have such a good relationship with her mom. In fact, she said she really didn't love her mom, had trouble really communicating with her mom and showing love to her. And so she came to camp, and at first she was a little bit skeptical of the Christian stuff. And I can remember her saying, oh, she was asking everybody that she can think of more about why they became a Christian. And especially she asked my 14-year-old son, I think he was 12 at the time, now, are you a Christian? Did your parents make you do that? Why did you become a Christian? All those kind of questions, interrogating him to try to find someone, you know, that wasn't, you know, why they did it, if they chose for their own reasons. And but by the end of camp, she really warmed up and made a decision for Christ. And it was really powerful for her. I remember her just crying big tears after she was saved and getting so excited. And so she, at the end of camp, God did something in her heart. And she said she just felt an overwhelming love for her mom. So she had to call her mom on the phone and say, "Mom, I love you." First time she had done that, I guess, in a long time. I don't know how long. But she also was, I can remember, as kind of a strong personality again, but a real leader. And she had a real passion to go out and do some kind of ministry project with children in villages. And so she was the one that really got us going, and we did a project in a village because of her, you know, really promoting that. But what's interesting is you see right beside her the girl in the yellow dress. Her name's Dasha. She's been a Christian about 4 years now. She was saved at a camp earlier and has become stronger. So she had, after Jenny was saved, she was able to disciple Jenny and help Jenny to grow in Christ. So next slide. And Jenny, then her friend is named Katya. They're eating a hot dog. Katya, she was able to share her faith with Katya, and Katya was saved. And so now Jenny is discipling Katya. And so it's kind of, if you're familiar with 2 Timothy 2:2, the principle of, you know, entrust to faithful men the things I'm teaching you so you can, they can teach others too. It's kind of that process. You know, we were able to work with Dasha, who then worked with Jenny, who then worked with Katya. And we're hoping that there will be more generations that continue and that we'll have more like that. Okay. You know, there's just a brief... Yeah, let's go ahead and pass over that. And I want to share a story about Sasha here. Sasha is a student that came to... actually, he's not a student. He's a businessman now, salesman. And he came to our camp last summer in July. I met him at almost... it would have been last May. And just prior to our meeting, he was going through kind of a crisis in his life. Just an emotional crisis, I guess. Kind of feeling discouraged and sad and feeling no joy and saying no peace and thinking, there's got to be more to life. And so one day he decided, maybe I'll try God. Maybe I'll pray. So he prayed and said, "God, I don't know if you're real, but you know, if you are, would you do something? Change my life, you know, give me some kind of peace or something, you know." And so it was just within a couple of days after that he and I met. And so he looks back and he'll say that was the God answering his prayer when we came in contact. I was passing out brochures on the street at one of the universities to come to our English camp. And so Sasha happened to be coming out of the university and grabbed one of my brochures, and he got really interested in the English camp. And so he came for an interview, and I interviewed him and invited him to the camp. But then we were just getting ready to go on this extreme camping trip, and I thought, wow, I'll invite him to that too. And so he decided to come to this trip, and the one I told you about, the mosquitoes and the island. He came on that trip, and really, he had a good time. But I think what was more important was the spiritual impact that occurred there. We had some Ukrainian Christians with us as we lived in the teepees and did all the canoeing and stuff. And he was just amazed as he watched those Ukrainian Christians to see, wow, they have peace. They aren't stressed out and worried and all of those, you know, having all the problems that I have. I'm worried all the time. Why is it they have peace? So it really got him thinking and considering there's something different about these Christians. So he came to camp more ready. And at camp, you know, he was soaking in all of the spiritual input that we offered. He didn't make a decision at camp, but he became more ready and got involved in our life group after camp. And then I started to meet with him individually. And at one of those meetings, he made a formal decision for Jesus and became a Christian. And so I've been able to meet with him in discipleship. It's neat to see him grow. He was out moving around the city doing his sales job. And he has to. It was just a real stressful day. Lots of different places he had to be and go. And so he was feeling no peace. And so he was sitting on the subway as he's going to his next meeting. And he's just saying, "God, I need peace." He thought, "I'll pray. That's what I'll do. I'll pray." So he prayed and said, "God, give me peace." And so he said he felt this peace just wash over him. And he was really glad about that. But just shortly that very same day, he met a friend from school. And they were talking a bit on the metro, and his friend told him, "You know, I have all these, I just recently broke up with my girlfriend. I'm tired of women. They just take advantage of you. And he says, I'm done with women. I'm not going to have any more women in my life unless I go somewhere into a remote village. There, probably the women are okay. They haven't been spoiled by the big city or something. I don't know. Anyway, he was just all frustrated. And Sasha said, you know what? You should pray. I just prayed today and God filled me with peace. God can help you too. And so I was just excited to see how God is helping Sasha to reach out to his friends. Let's see. One more story. Go ahead and next slide. Yeah, I want to tell you about Olya here. Olya is a student that we met at camp in 2006. In fact, I think Kath knows her. Yeah, I remember we were talking about her yesterday, Kath and Sandra. But she was at the camp and enjoyed the camp. Spiritually seemed like she was in tune and interested, but didn't really pursue it afterward. She didn't participate in our meetings or, you know, just she got busy and went on with her life. But now she recently began a job as a television reporter. She does a TV news program for one of the local channels. And it's really a high-stress job. She's, you know, working lots of hours each week and constantly feeling the pressure from her editors to, you know, do different things. And so she she was really feeling, again, upset and stressed out and worried in life. And so she decided, wow, last time I really felt peace was at that camp in 2006. So she called us up and she asked if she could come and meet with us. And I said, of course, yeah, it's great to talk with you. So we had a chance to talk, and during our first meeting together, she said, I'm just feeling so stressed out and worried. We just took some time to read through one of the Psalms together and talk about it and pray with her. She said she felt like, you know, she felt a peace come over her when we did that. So she said, can we meet again? And I said, oh, of course we can meet again. So we met a second time, and at that time I was able to share the full gospel with her again and to give her a chance to pray, and she accepted the Lord. And it was just exciting to see, like, the peace come over her and the joy come over her when she accepted the Lord. And she said, man, I didn't understand this before. And she said, more people, my parents need to understand this. My friends need to understand this. Because it's, I think we're talking about the idea of religion versus relationship. And, you know, there's nothing we can do to be saved, to be in relationship with God. And she's thinking, all these people think you got to put candles and pray before an icon and do all this stuff. But no, it's simpler than that. And so we've been able to get into discipleship meetings with her and to watch her grow. The last month or two, she's been quite busy at her job, that it's been hard for us to get together. So if you think of Olya, have any kind of desire, pray for her. Pray that we'll be able to, start making regular connections and that she will continue to grow in her faith. You probably notice in our videos that we have a lot of girls. A lot of girls in our meetings. Not too many guys. Sasha is one of the main ones. We have quite a few that are in our English clubs, but none that have really grabbed a hold of the spiritual part other than Sasha and began to follow through with it. So I'd encourage you, if you want to pray about guys in our ministry too, that God will raise up more guys. And finally, you can pray about our English camps, that God will raise up teams, people from the West to go, and also raise up the Ukrainians that he wants to be participating in that, and just to give us wisdom in planning and preparing. So it's been great to be with you today, to be able to share. And I'd encourage you, if you have any thought at all, to grab one of these brochures. Even if you're not sure, just pray about it and see if God would speak to you that, yeah, you need to go this summer. It's really not a high-cost trip. I think it's feasible that God can provide the funds, and it's a great way to see God work through you and, I don't know, to see another kind of part of the world, too. I guess it's still in Europe, but at least it's another country. But anyway, I'd encourage you to grab one of those before you leave, and we'd love to have you in Ukraine. Thank you.